Hello, this is Tom Scott, the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. We begin our reading on the front page above the fold from the Paxton City Council. Alderman, more needed than just an awning. At April 23rd adjourned meeting, council to consider redevelopment agreement. Paxton. A proposal to reimburse the owner of a downtown building $6,000 for the replacement of the tattered awning above its front entrance was met with hesitancy by aldermen during last week's monthly meeting of the council. Even though all seven aldermen present appeared to be in favor of using funds generated from the city's tax increment financing district, the TIF, to improve the neglected property at 202 North Market Street, as had been proposed, some said they were concerned that the awning project does not go far enough. Alderman Kristen Larson said she wants to see more done, like the painting of the building's exterior, for example, in addition to the replacement of the torn-up red cloth awning that hangs above the entrance to Superwok, a Chinese restaurant that has been operating there for decades. That building needs an extensive amount of other exterior maintenance other than just an awning, and I feel like that work has been deferred by the owner in the past and needs to be addressed, Larson told her colleagues on Tuesday, April 9th, as they were considering a proposal to give the Chicago area owner of the building a one-time $6,000 reimbursement via a redevelopment agreement. Larson suggested redrafting the proposed agreement to include such additional work to get that building to look more presentable. Her comments received a round of applause from members of the public in attendance. That can be done, City Attorney Tony Shearing told Larson in response. There are a couple of different ways from doing that. I think, if that's the view of the council, then we should probably sit on approval of the agreement for now and kind of build that in. That way, we're not piecemealing it, and it's in one agreement. Alderman agreed with Shearing's suggestion and decided to table approval of the agreement until after the requested modifications are made. A new draft of the agreement is expected to be considered at a future council meeting, possibly during an adjourned meeting to be held at 7 p.m. Tuesday, April 23rd at City Hall on Market Street. The building's owner, who was not present at last week's meeting, will be invited to attend, Mayor Bill Ingold said. I want to work with them, Larson stressed. I don't want to just say no. I'd like to work with them to see action. I would like to think that if we are willing to work with them by providing city funds, that it might be a little bit more of an incentive for the owner to do some work. I don't know if that's the case, but I feel it's worth a try. Meanwhile, Alderman Joe Reinhart said he also is concerned with the appearance of other downtown buildings that are owned by the same owner, FTP Properties, LLC. I would like to see more from that owner taken care of as well, Reinhart said. Alderman Rob Pacey questioned why Ingold, instead of the building's owner, obtained a cost estimate for the awning project when historically that task has been the responsibility of whoever is requesting reimbursement via a redevelopment agreement. Reinhart also questioned why the owner was not in attendance to discuss the project with aldermen, as has historically happened when redevelopment agreements are considered. Ingold responded by noting that he had informed the owner earlier that day and that he did not need to show up. If we need to have them here on the 23rd, they can do that, Ingold noted. Under the redevelopment agreement presented to the council last week, the city would have made a one-time contribution of $6,000 towards the installation of the new awning, with the project to be completed this year. While similar to other redevelopment agreements for downtown properties seeking reimbursement for awning replacement, this project would reflect a bit higher ratio of reimbursement to overall project cost when compared with the others, Shearing said. But it's a small dollar amount to be reimbursed overall. Besides Larson, Payson, and Reinhart, other aldermen present last week were Kendall Cox, Eric Evans, Mike Wilson, and Justin Withers. Absent was Alderman Dean Gykin. Also, during last week's city council meeting, a concerned parent, Dallas Williamson, asked that either a speed limit sign, speed bumps, or a sign warning drivers of the presence of children playing in the area be installed near her home on East Prospect Street, where the road curves and turns into East Bogardus Street. Williamson said she was concerned about vehicles speeding through that area where her kids and others in the neighborhood play. "We don't want anybody to get hurt," Williamson said. Police Chief Coy Cornett suggested putting a slow children at play sign there as opposed to a speed limit sign or speed bumps. Upon Larson's request, Burnett said he would set up the police department's speed trailer in that area to study the traffic issues there. A woman identified herself as T.J. Baker and the owner of a building at 119 North Market Street in downtown Paxton complained of negative news coverage about her building in a recent edition of the Ford County Chronicle and asked the council if the building is in violation of the city's nuisance ordinance. She said she wants to follow the ordinances. Pacey told her that she can review all city ordinances at City Hall or on the city's website, www.cityofpaxton.com. Ingalls said the city's annual Arbor Day observance is scheduled for 7:30 a.m. Friday, April 26th at Pell's Park, where a newly planted tree will be dedicated in memory of the late Terry Hancock, founder of Pride in Paxton. Historically, we've donated a tree each Arbor Day in memory of someone who has been instrumental to the city of Paxton with their volunteering and their work. And this year it will be for Terry Hancock, Ingalls said. Members of the Paxton Buckley Loda High School's FFA chapter have been invited to participate in the observance as they usually do. Now, below the fold on the front page, downtown revitalization. Paxton Main Street honored, elated to join Illinois Main Street program. Communities of Paxton, Aledo, Elgin, Madison, Wood River join programs supporting economic development and community revitalization. The nonprofit organization Paxton Main Street has been accepted as a member of the Illinois Main Street program, and community leaders could not be more pleased. Honored and elated were two words that Paxton Main Street's executive director, Donna Pepper, used to describe her organization's response to the news that arrived on Tuesday, April 9th, and was publicly announced on Friday, April 12th. "I think it's great," added Paxton Mayor Bill Ingold. "It's something that everyone is working toward, trying to, in the long run, get more people to come to Paxton to see what we've got to offer and got going on. So I think it's just a super good deal for the community." As a member of Illinois Main Street, Paxton Main Street will have access to more resources and possibly grants, too, that can help further the group's mission of promoting the city's assets, including its people, businesses, and events, while supporting economic development and historic preservation. Paxton Main Street was among four nonprofit organizations statewide, the others being Aledo Main Street, the Downtown Neighborhood Association of Elgin, and the Wood River Business Alliance, announced last week as new affiliate members of Illinois Main Street, while a fifth, the Village of Madison, joined as an aspiring level. They are now among more than 20 members of Illinois Main Street, which is part of Main Street America, a national network of more than 20,000 organizations working to facilitate preservation-based economic development and community revitalization in downtowns. Main Street communities across Illinois provide goods, services, opportunities, and jobs that boost economic growth and tourism, Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton said in an Illinois Main Street news release. "I'm thrilled that the Aledo, Elgin, Madison, Paxton, and Wood River communities are joining the Illinois Main Street program. We want every community to thrive, and we know uplifting the best of small towns and businesses is the key." While Paxton Main Street is only now becoming a member of Illinois Main Street, The group has been working hard to bring improvements and new events to Paxton's downtown commercial district ever since it became a 501c3 nonprofit organization in January of 2023. Among the group's recent accomplishments was being awarded a nearly $30,000 T-Mobile hometown grant last June to install public Wi-Fi throughout the downtown district. Also, the group has promoted local businesses and organizations on social media and created new events such as Paxton's Fall Gathering. Joining Illinois Main Street presents an opportunity for Paxton to help market its assets even further. Illinois Main Street works to support the downtown business districts of its member towns through a four-point transformation strategy focusing on economic vitality, the enhancement of physical and visual assets, promotion of the district, and the cultivation of community involvement for sustainable revitalization. Illinois Main Street communities may also have greater access to grant opportunities from the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity and other entities such as Illinois Main Street assists in connecting its members to additional funding sources. Since 1992, Illinois Main Street communities have collectively secured nearly $1.2 billion in public and private reinvestment, added more than 11,000 jobs, created more than 2,300 new businesses, and rehabilitated 1,100 buildings. Paxton Main Street is honored and elated to become an Illinois Main Street community, Pepper said in an Illinois Main Street news release. The Main Street America Network has proven to be an exceptional model for community of all sizes, and our organization is excited to learn about the developing tourism in Paxton, increasing our economic development, and we hope to elevate the interest in our community has in historic preservation. Well, with Paxton Main Street's acceptance into the Illinois Main Street, the city of Paxton will fulfill its pledge of giving an annual $20,000 donation for the next 3 years to Paxton Main Street. The City Council voted unanimously in January to approve providing the financial support if the group's application to join Illinois Main Street would be accepted. Before the City Council vote, Pepper noted that Illinois Main Street requests that communities joining their organization have collaboration and financial support from their city, adding that Illinois Main Street had suggested that a third of Paxton Main Street budget come from the city, the equivalent of about $20,000. We also have already secured corporate and community donors, and we'll also commit the dollars that we raise from our continued events that we hold each year, Pepper told the council. The community of Paxton was an original member of Illinois Main Street back when it was established in the 1990s, but had not been recognized as an Illinois Main Street community for several years until last week's announcement was made. According to Pepper, Illinois Main Street has undergone a change in focus since Paxton was last a member under the application of the nonprofit group Pride in Paxton. Illinois Main Street's focus at that time was more on historic preservation, whereas now they have shifted that focus to more to economic vitality and business development, including entrepreneurship, marketing, tourism, business outreach, and retention, Pepper told the council in January. The funds that the city has committed annually to Paxton Main Street are expected to come out of the hotel motel tax revenue, which is earmarked for the purposes of promoting tourism and marketing the city. In March, the council also committed to making a one-time donation of $12,500 in hotel motel tax funds to Pride in Paxton to help fund the expansion of the downtown's new sound system, with a second $12,500 donation expected to be considered after the new fiscal year begins May 1st. With the city's tourism fund, which collects the city's hotel motel tax revenue, showed a balance of $27,265 as of Monday, April 15th, not including the first $20,000 donation to Paxton Main Street. Controller Treasurer Tammy Jensen estimated the hotel motel taxes usually total about $3,000 to $5,000 per month, giving the city a likely balance of around $12,500 by the May 1st start of the new fiscal year. According to the inside of the paper, this week's Ford County Chronicle, we have a report on the Crown on the Town project progressing along. Stan Foster of rural Paxton has nearly finished the construction of a 28-foot octagonal platform that will be part of a replica of Paxton's 1887 water tank to be placed atop the city's historical 80-foot-tall water tower downtown. The project being undertaken by the nonprofit Paxton Foundation that is being called the Crown on the Town. Earlier this year, Kirchner Building Center in Paxton delivered a 42-piece batch of 28-foot laminated veneer lumber to Pat Foster's rural Paxton shop, allowing him to start construction. In February, the 28-foot beams were cut and anchored into four separate sections. The replica tank features a 28-foot octagonal platform with a 4-foot-wide catwalk all the way around the tank, along with dual handrails secured to each of the 8 corners posts of the octagon. 2 of the 8 curved tank sections have been built, and one of them has the cypress siding boards installed, primed, and 2 coats of paint already applied, Foster said in an email on Monday, April 15. The logistics of building these curved wall sections is a challenge, but so far there have been no big surprises. Cypress siding arrived from Louisiana as a very select grade, kiln dried, and surfaced on 4 sides. I have been milling a canoe joint on each board so the boards interlock with each other. A layer of Tyvek is being applied over the curved plywood sheeting. It makes a very rigid wall section with 2x6 framing. The Paxton Foundation is seeking donations and selling the Crown on the Town t-shirts, hats, and sweatshirts made by Signs and Designs of Paxton to help fund the estimated $100,000 cost of the project. Tax-deductible donations can also be made to the Paxton Foundation in care of the Frederick Community Bank in Paxton. Also on the inside, from PPL High School in Paxton, series of potential threats to school safety prompt increased security at PBL. Threats vague, anonymous. Increased security measures were in place last week at Paxton Buckley Lota High School in response to a series of threats to school safety. On the morning of Friday, April 12th, Superintendent Travis Dooley said in a letter to parents and guardians posted on the PBL School District's Facebook page that a short while ago, the high school administration received another vague and anonymous report through our online reporting system and consequently would have increased security measures implemented at the high school. We will continue to monitor and investigate the situation, Dooley said. We take all threats seriously as the safety of our students and staff is our top priority. After consultation with local authorities, we feel comfortable that the school is safe. Friday's was among multiple threats received in a one-week span. In another letter from Dooley, one day earlier, on Thursday, April 11th, Dooley said that in response to a rumor about a threat of violence that circulated that evening, our district conducted a threat assessment and has collaborated with local law enforcement, ultimately determined that this is a non-credible threat. PBL administration and the Paxton Police Department feel confident that the situation has been fully addressed and students are safe to attend school, Dooley said in Thursday's letter. Out of an abundance of caution, we will have an increased police present at the high school on Friday. On the previous Friday, April 5th, Paxton Police and Ford County Sheriff's deputies were on hand at PBL High School, standing by as school staff used metal detector wands to search students' bags as they entered the building, after school administration were notified of a possible threat to school safety through the school district's online reporting system at arrival time that morning, Dooley said. Upon receiving this information, we immediately contacted the Paxton Police Department, coordinated with them to have a police present during student arrival at the high school, and out of an abundance of caution, set up procedures to ensure all high school students were searched when entering the building, Dooley said in an April 5th letter. On Sunday, April 7th, Dooley announced that additional security measures would be in place at the high school to begin the school week on Monday, April 8th, out of an abundance of caution. Dooley asked that parents or students with additional information regarding the situation contact high school administration at 217-379-4331. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, April 17th. Gary Lee Babs, Pontiac. Gary Lee Babs, 74, of Pontiac, father of a Paxson resident, died at 4:40 a.m. Friday, April 12th at his residence. Cremation rites were accorded and a memorial service was at noon Tuesday, April 16th at the Calvert and Martin Funeral Home in Pontiac with the Reverend Jared Bartholomew of the Pontiac Bible Church officiating. Memorials in his name may be made to the Autism Foundation. Clinton A. Carden, Gibson City. Clinton A. Clint Carden, 57, a native of Gibson City, died Wednesday, April 10th in Fort Wayne, Indiana. No information regarding funeral arrangements is given in the obituary. James R. Cultra, Onarga. James Randall, Randy Cultra, 88, of Onarga, died peacefully on Saturday, April 6th at his home with family by his side. Funeral services were held Friday, April 10th at April 12th at the Knapp Funeral Home in Onarga. Burial was in the Onarga Cemetery after the service. Memorials may be made to the American Heart Association, Carl Philanthropy Auxiliary Guest House, or the American Cancer Society. Carol Joan Eklund, Paxton. Carol Joan Eklund, 86, a Paxton native, died Wednesday, April 3rd in Loup City, Nebraska. Cremation occurred and burial will be in Glen Cemetery in Paxton. Private family services will occur at a later date. Sylvia Ann Yoder, Gilman. Sylvia Ann Yoder, 87, of Gilman, died Wednesday, April 3rd at the Gilman Nursing Home in Gilman. Graveside services were held Thursday, April 11th at the Wenger Cemetery in Gilman with the Reverend Pete Heinrich officiating. We return to the news with an article entitled, Women from Lota, Chevenix Die After Car Strikes Motorcycle in Intersection, Two Vehicle Crash in Lota. Lota. Two women, one from Lota and one from Chevenix, died after a car struck a motorcycle in Lota on Sunday, April 14th, the Iroquois County Sheriff's Office said. According to a news release from the Sheriff's Office, the accident occurred around 1:08 p.m. when a 2008 Chrysler 200 driven by Amber Geralds, 35, of Lota, failed to slow down at the intersection of Oak and Washington Streets, where her car struck a 2012 Harley-Davidson Ultraglide driven by Lester Nays, 65, of Chevenix, and carrying one passenger, Greta Nays, 60, of Chevenix, as the motorcycle was turning left. All three were seriously injured and transported to area hospitals, where both Mrs. Geraltz and Mrs. Nays were pronounced dead, the sheriff's office said. Assisting Iroquois County Sheriff's deputies in the scene were an Illinois State Police accident reconstruction team and firefighters and paramedics from Buckley, Gibson City, and Lota. Mrs. Geraltz was an employee of the Hardee's restaurant in Paxton. On Monday, April 15th, Hardee's manager Mike McDonald set up an online fundraiser on GoFundMe to help pay for her funeral expenses. Amber was truly one of a kind woman who worked for me the last 5 years, McDonald said on the website. Over the last 5 years, she became more than just another employee. She became another sister to me that no matter what was going on, I could count on her. She was truly my backbone and helped this restaurant flourish. She was one of the most unselfish people I have ever met in my life and would do just about anything for anyone. Amber will be tremendously missed by so many. Before we leave the article, the family or the couple that was on the motorcycle, Mr. and Mrs. Nays, and their last name is spelled NAESE. So that's Lester Nayes and Greta Nayes. Now, from the Elliott Village Board, President says he'll move forward with trustee appointment. Elliott. It will be another month before a new village board member is appointed to fill the vacancy created by the March resignation of trustee Ralph Erhard. During the board's April 9th meeting, village president Josh Rooley said trustee told trustees he intends to appoint the same candidate he has said he would. None of the original three residents who have expressed interest were present, and Rowley did not offer his intended appointee's name. Rowley did say he was aware that some parties had expressed concerns, but said that he intends to move forward with his chosen appointee anyway. Trustee Mary Young expressed concern that legal procedures she had read could mean Earhart's resignation was not valid because it was delivered unnotarized. Village clerk Gloria Lynch said his letter was delivered by Earhart's daughter, and Lynch then notarized it. Rowley was quick to indicate his irritation with Young's comment. There is always some massive complication, and it always comes from you, Rowley told Young. Rowley said he would contact Ford County Clerk and Recorder Amy Frederick about Young's concern and would go with her answer. Independent water contractor Tyler Martin asked if his monthly fee of $1,000 could be paid on the first day of every month instead of with the approval of bills at each monthly board meeting. His reasoning was that was how other communities pay him. Village Treasurer Paula Swearingen said she would accommodate Martin's request. Also, Martin said he counted 61 pit lids in the village miscellaneous metal pile. Martin previously indicated he could purchase them for use in Gibson City, where he is superintendent of the water and street departments. Martin asked to buy 20 of the pit lids at $20 each, a price double of what he had suggested the previous month. Martin indicated that Gibson City may want more, but would not need all 61. Trustees agreed that the amount was more than the scrap value, and the purchase was approved. Resident Linda Hoskla asked Rowley what he planned for the remainder of the scrap metal. Rowley said he didn't know yet. Also on the agenda was consideration to purchase a number of flags needed for Main Street display on holidays and other locations. Hoskla and resident Mike Kingsley said previously prepared the list in advance of the meeting, but said the decision of what quality to order and total price needed to be prepared by village officials. Rowley would not quickly locate Hulse Claw's previous digital list on his phone, so she sent it to him again during the meeting. Hulse Claw and Kingsley again said quick action is needed to have flags before the upcoming Memorial Day holiday. Rowley said he would see that an order was placed and the amount spent with the usual supplier could be approved at the May meeting. And finally, $4,000 plus donated to club. Paxton Service member Charlie Wood and the club's treasurer, Jerry Neiman, were presented by Paxton IGA grocery store employee April Ransom with a check for $4,172.17 donation, courtesy of the store's Roundup program. Roundup program provides opportunities for customers to give back to the community and help local nonprofits and charities earn money. Through the program, customers are asked if they would like to round up their bill to the next dollar and donate the difference to a designated charity. The IGA also picks 1 week during the month-long fundraising drive to match all customer donations. Store matched the third week of the promotion this time, contributing $753. Since the inception of the Roundup program, the store's match has totaled $26,267, while the amount the customers have contributed plus the store's match has totaled $104,474. And that's all the time we have for today's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.